Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
And I appreciate the good singing. Let's take our Bible, go with me to Psalms 126. Psalms 126, we was here on Sunday night, or on Wednesday night, Wednesday night, and I want to go back here and pick up another thought tonight, or this afternoon, and you pray for us, do pray for me, and we'll have to leave out about 4:30 to head to Radford and pray that the Lord give us traveling grace up there, and help us as we preach up there. Excited about being there tonight at Gethsemane. Brother Brent Strofe, great, great preacher, and I'm looking forward to preaching for him tonight, and I was trying to think today, I guess I've preached there every year for the past 3 or 4 years, maybe even the past 5 years. I've preached for him and always enjoyed being there. Great church there at Gethsemane. And then towards the end of the month, I'll be in the first of next month, I'll be with 2 or 3 of our preachers out of the church in several meetings. So I'm thankful for that and looking forward to that. Amen. The book of Psalms 126. And let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of the Lord. The Bible said this, we'll read the entire psalm, and I ain't got to worry about you getting out in time to go eat lunch. You should have already eaten lunch. Most of you don't eat supper at about 5:30, 6 o'clock, so I can preach a while today. Amen? Well, 3 said amen, and they got a snack bag with them. Look at Psalms 126, verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouths filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I started this past Wednesday night a series on sowing the seed, and I want to pick that up and give you another thought on that tonight. Father, I love you. I pray that you'd help us over the next few minutes. God, thank you for a great crowd this Sunday afternoon. Thank you, God, for good singing. Now, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we preach today. God, we've got a great book to preach out of. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to rightly divide it. Save that sinner closest to hell. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight, or this afternoon. This afternoon. We're in the afternoon, aren't we? I want to give you a little thought here this afternoon. If you was here on Wednesday night, I'll back up and review a little bit of it. But we began looking primarily at verse number 5 and verse number 6. Now, when you come to Psalms 126, we noted that in the first 3 verses, there is praise for help. And in the last 3 verses, there is a prayer for help. In the first 3 verses, there's deliverance, delight, and a declaration. And then when you come to verse number 4, 5, and 6, there is a prayer, there is a promise, and there is prosperity. Whenever we look in verse number 4, he says, turn again or our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. I began talking about that a little bit, and I dealt with how there in South Palestine, of what we would know today in the summertime, it would become dry, and as it was a desert in that area in the summer. What the psalmist is saying is, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Whenever it would begin raining in the fall of the year and going into the wintertime there, the rainy season there, it noted in studying that geographical location that it would be as streams running through the desert. You could think of it this way, how refreshing that would be. Whenever we look at the world today and we look at society today, this society is a dry place, amen. And I'm telling you what they need. They need the Word of God today is what they need. They need us as streams in a dry place. We began looking at sowing the seed in the new year. We talked about the need for sowing the seed and give several different things. But here's what we looked at on Wednesday night. We looked at this on Wednesday night. We looked at the sower of the seed. The sower of the seed. Here's the things that we noted. Who is the sower of the seed? And we come to the realization that if we're saved by the grace of God, then we are all sowers of the seed. Where is the seed to be sown at? Whenever we looked at that, we noted that the seed was to be sown wherever we are, wherever we are at. When is the seed to be sown? It's to be sown all the time. And why is the seed to be sown? Well, the reason the seed is to be sown is because there is a world dying and going to hell. I talked about a podcast that I'd listened to of Brother Paul Chappell that interviewed Brother Don Siss, that's 90 years old now and been in the ministry for years. And here's what Brother Siss said in that interview. 90 years old in the ministry, 65 years. He said this. He said, I try to remember that every face that I see and every individual I meet on a daily basis is either going to heaven or they're going to hell. And can I say to you and I this afternoon that we should be reminded that every face that we see, they're either going to heaven or they're going to hell. Every person sitting in this room today is either going to heaven or they're going to hell. Amen. And there is a seed that needs to be sown. Well, who is the sower? It is you and I today. And the reason we sow the seed is because of souls going to hell. Now, today I want to preach on this thought for just a little while. We considered the sower. Today I would like to consider the precious seed. What did the Bible say? It said this. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weeping, watch this, bearing precious seed. Bearing precious seed. I want to talk to you a little while today about the precious seed that he is talking about right here. You say, well, preacher, what is the seed that we are to be sowing? If I'm supposed to be sowing a seed, then what am I supposed to sow? It's very simple today. It's the Word of God. That's what it is. This world don't need to know this or to know that. Here's what they need to know. They need to know that Jesus loves them and Jesus gave his life for them and that Jesus will save them from hell. What did he say in John 1:1? He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, what? Full of grace and truth. He's full of grace today. What does the world need today? I tell you what they need. They need Jesus today. They need the Word of God today. Can I just say this to you today? What we hold in our hand in this precious book is the words of God today. We hold God in our hand today. What does the world need? Here's what they need. Hear me, I'm not being mean today. I'm not throwing off on singing today. I love singing, you know that. But I'm telling you, the world don't need another gospel group. The world don't need another bluegrass group. The world needs somebody full of the Holy Ghost of God to tell them what the Bible says, that sin still sin and God still God. And the blood of Jesus still washes away the sins of the world. We have a precious seed today in the Word of God. So I want to look at this precious seed for just a few minutes. Mark 4:15 said this, as these are they by the wayside, which the Word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away what? The word that was sown in their heart. I'm not going to take time to go through all of chapter number 4 of Mark, but he is dealing with sowing the seed in that parable. And what did he say it was? He said, where the word is sown. What is he talking about? He's talking about the Bible today. John 12 said this, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. What did he say in Romans 10? He said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Mark said this in chapter 16, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Here's what he said in 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Let me tell you what the world needs. It needs the word. Yeah, man, if you'll get on board with me, we'll get done a whole lot quicker. Let me tell you what the world needs. It needs the word. Let me tell you what your family needs. It needs the word. Let me tell you what your children need. They need the word. Let me tell you what this lost world needs. It needs the word today. He said, hey, Timothy, Paul's telling Timothy. He said, here's what you need to do. He said, don't get up and give your opinion. Don't get up and beat around the bush. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So what is this precious seed? Well, if you hadn't figured it out yet, it's the Bible. It's the Bible. And can I just say something this afternoon? Thank God for my Bible today. Thank God for the Word of God today. Let me tell you the reason I'm saved today. Yes, it's because of the blood of Jesus. Yes, it's because of the drawing of the Holy Ghost. But let me tell you the reason that I knew any of that. Because somebody gave me the Word of God. Somebody gave. You know what? It's not always a preacher that gives it. But I think about Miss Linda Lineberry in a Sunday school class when I was a little bitty boy telling me the word. I think about Brother Harold England and Danny Calloway when I was a little boy in youth church. You know what they did? They gave me the word. I think about Brother Joe Arthur that was preaching the meeting that I got saved in. You know what he done? He gave me the word. You want me to tell you what my daddy done? As my pastor, he gave me the word. Hear me and hear me well. We need the word today. We need the Bible. We're living in a society that wants to push it to the side. Yeah, man, they're wanting to push it to the side. They're wanting to push it out of society today. They're wanting to say it's hate language. It's not hate language. It's the greatest love letter that's ever been told. What it does is it exposes them for who they are, and they don't like that. Matter of fact, you know what the Word of God is? It is offensive today because it tells us just how rotten and low down and vile we are. But aren't you glad that it didn't stop there, that was at the end of the story? For the wages of sin is death, every one of us. For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. For that all have sinned. Aren't you glad that it didn't stop there? Aren't you glad that it didn't stop in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve messed up? But God came back in the cool of the day. And what did they hear? They heard the Word of God. Thank God it does expose my sin. It does expose my faults. It does expose my failures. Oh, but it doesn't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, it exposed me being wrong, but it also told me that there was a man named Jesus that loved me, and there was no sin so great that I'd committed that he wouldn't forgive me for and take me to a place called heaven. Thank God for the Bible today. Oh, yes, the precious Word of God. Well, let me give you two or three things. Number one, the precious Word today. The seed, he said, what did he say? He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed. Well, I got a couple things wrote down. Number one, when we think about the Bible today, it's precious seed. Number one, it's precious because of its inspiration. It's precious because of its inspiration. What did the Bible say? Here's what the Bible said. If you're going to talk about the Bible, you need to quote the Bible. Somebody give me an amen right there. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All Scripture. You know what that word all means? Every bit of it. Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Watch this. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You say, preacher, what is it? It's this today. It is the inspired Word of God. It's, you know what that means? Here's what that means. It's God-breathed. You say, who inspired the Word of God? God did. I understand that the Bible has 66 different books written over a period of 1,600 years with 40 different authors that we know about. But hear me and hear me well. It's got one author. Let me tell you who that author is. It's the Lord Himself. David didn't write anything unless God inspired him to. Moses didn't write nothing unless God inspired him to. Paul never wrote the first letter to the church at Corinth or any other church unless God inspired him to. Let me tell you what our Bible is today. It's precious. And the reason that it's precious is because it's inspired by God. It's God-breathed. It's not just any old book. Can I just say that again? It's not just any old book. It's not just something that I pick up every day to read as if it were a newspaper. Are you hearing me? It's not something that I just run to see how the story turns out. Let me tell you what it is. It is the divine words of God breathed by the Almighty Himself. Oh, yes, the Word of God is precious because it's inspired. I thought about this. I'm inspired by the faith of Abraham, the purity of Joseph, by the courage of Moses, by the love of David, by the boldness of John the Baptist. But most of all, I'm inspired by Jesus and His holy word. Think about this with me. D.L. Moody said how he knew the Bible was inspired. He answered this when he was asked that question. I could give you many responses, but the main reason I believe the Bible is inspired is because the Bible inspires me. Oh, yes. I'm telling you something, it's inspired by God Himself. You ever been in a valley before? You ever been in a dark place before? And you got the Word of God out and you just began to read the Word of God. Or maybe you were so broken and you were so down and out that you just turned it on and began to listen to it. And all of a sudden there was a deep settled peace come over your soul. You want me to tell you the reason why? It's because it's not just any old book. It's not some novel. It's not some biography. It is God breathed today. Oh, yes. Number one, it's precious because it's inspired. Number two, I'll show you this. It's precious because of its instructions. Not only because it's inspired, but because of its instructions. 2 Timothy 3, I've already read it, but let me give it to you again. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Watch this. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Can I just say something to you today? I have no problem with Bible college if it is taken and the people teach what we believe. That's hard to find anymore. But I have no problem with Bible college. I've been to Bible college. I don't regret going to Bible college. If anything, I wish I'd have done a little more Bible college before I've got so busy in the ministry. I don't regret it at all. But I'm going to tell you something today. What instructs me is not Bible college. Here's what he said. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Why is the man of God furnished? Why has he got everything that he needs? Because he's got it all in 66 books right there. Any problem that a pastor faces, I promise you the answer to it is right here. It instructs us. What did the Bible say in Psalms 119? He said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. What did he say in Psalms 119, 105? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what he's saying? He said this, when it's dark and I don't know what to do, the word of God will light the way. The word of God will. Man, y'all may not be getting nothing out of this, but I like preaching about the Bible. It will light the way. Yesterday we were sitting around the house, and some Western come on. And we was watching that Western, and somebody showed up at the barn. And he didn't have a sensor light out at the barn, Brother Brian. It came on and showed him who it was, and he didn't have a ring out there either. So you know what the feller done in the house? His wife and his youngin was in there. He got his 45 long coat and strapped it on his side. Matter of fact, if I go to the barn at night now, even with a light, I won't put mine on my side. But anyway, and he got a lantern, and he carried that lantern out to the barn. And here's one thing that I noticed about that lantern. That lantern didn't show him, Brother Denny, everything way out in front of him. But you know what it done? It made sure that everywhere he was stepping was the right place. It kept him, can I just say it this way, safe right around where he was at. Let me tell you what the Word of God will do. So many times we're looking for something way out yonder, and the Word of God's trying to show us danger right here at our feet. It's a light unto my path. Amen. Thank God for the Bible today. It will instruct us. I thought about this. Proverbs said this, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Boy, that's the Bible, amen. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. You know what he was saying? He was saying this, get in the Bible. Get in the Bible. It will instruct you. I'll say this to you, and I'm going to give you my last thought, and we'll go home. Any major decision you got in your life, I promise you that Word of God right there will help you make it. Amen. I remember years ago when I was with Rock of Ages Prison Ministries, Brother Ron Garris was the director then. Whenever, I don't know how it is now, but whenever you went with Rock of Ages, you had to have a verse that God had given you and confirmed in your heart that's what you were supposed to do. And God gave Miss Leslie and I Jude 22, and if some have compassion making a difference, was the verse God gave us. And ever since then, Miss Leslie will testify to this, any major decision in our life, you know what we do? We consult the Word of God. God, if you really want us to do this, then confirm it from your Word. Boy, it's quiet right there. God, give me a Bible verse for it. Now, look up in here just a minute. I don't have to have a Bible verse to get a 1 pound roast beef from Arby's. Somebody give me an amen right there with three packs of Arby's sauce and a large fry and a water. You might as well get sweet tea or Coca-Cola. I mean, don't even get diet. Don't get sugar-free. You ain't worried about it, all right? You're just trying to make yourself feel good. Everybody, all right? I don't have to have a word of God for what I'm fixing to eat. And I'll never forget, I was standing, and I'm about done, I think. I was standing October. It had been 1998, in October of 1998, is camp meeting at Turner's Creek, Brother Matt. You remember those days? Huge meeting that Dad had there years ago. Huge. People came in from all over the country to that meeting. We was directing traffic at the end of it, and I was standing beside a 1994 Ford Probe. Black windows, straight drive. It was bad back then. And I was standing beside that car, and Clayton Maynard was my best friend back then. He was standing beside of me. And there was this tall brunette come walking by. And she said, "How are you?" And I said, "Oh, I'm doing great. How you doing?" She walked on, got in her car, drove off. I looked over at Kevin. I looked over at Clayton, and I said, "Hey, look, I'm fixing to marry that girl." He said, "You've lost your mind." I said, "Mark it down. You're going to be in the wedding." I said, "I'm going to marry her." He said, "You're crazy, man." He said, "You don't even know who she is." I said, "Yeah, but I got her license plate number. And I got a buddy that's a police officer, and I'll know who she is and where she lives." Well, I didn't know, but my buddy that was a police officer was her brother. That was on Thursday night. That Sunday, I hadn't seen him, but that Sunday he pulled up at the house. This is the truth. Leslie don't like this part, but it's the truth. He pulled up at my house. Girls, you ain't supposed to pursue boys, all right? But Miss Leslie, don't listen to her when she tells you that because she's a hypocrite. He pulled up at the house, and I said, "Hey, dude, what's going on?" "And you just got to know my brother-in-law. Some of y'all's met him now. Here." I said, "Well, what's that?" "He says it's my sister's number. She wants you to call her." I said, "That's who that was, wasn't it?" He said, "What are you?" I said, "Nothing." I said, "But that's who that was." You know what I'd done? I called her. We ended up going out. We ended up getting married, and Clayton ended up being in my wedding. And when she started down the aisle, I looked over at him and said, "I told you so." Before I gave her a diamond, I gave her a ruby ring. And God give me the verse, "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above the rubies." Say, "Preach, what are you saying?" Here's what I'm saying. That word of God right there will instruct you. And in any major decision in your life, if you can't back it up from the Word of God, you better back away from it. Say, "Preacher, I think I'm going to do this. I believe the Lord's leading me." Hear me and hear me. The Lord will speak through His Word. I'm preaching good. It instructs us. Number three, I'm done. Not only it's precious because of its inspiration, it's precious because of its instruction. I would say this, number three. He said that precious seed. The seed is precious today because of its impact. It will make an impact on your life. The Word of God will make an impact on your life. The Bible is a powerful book because it contains a powerful gospel about a powerful Savior that had a powerful Father. It's powerful today. It will impact your life. C.H. Spurgeon, come start playing softly. C.H. Spurgeon, you have to remember when Spurgeon was preaching, they didn't have a sound system. Matter of fact, I still find it so interesting that they could go into those big auditoriums, Brother Lodge, and preach, and everybody could hear them. They say the acoustics in them was just amazing. And here a few weeks ago before Christmas, Miss Leslie decided that we needed to go to the orchestra. and go to a Christmas thing at the orchestra. And you say, what did you think? Well, I thought it was pretty neat. All that made me mad was the building would seat like 2,000 and the men's bathroom had two commodes in it. I mean, they made us put more than that in here. It goes to show you liberals can get away with anything. But anyway, it's an old building, so it's probably grandfathered in. It's an old building at Wake Forest. It's the auditorium there at Wake Forest. We went in. I told Leslie, I said, I don't care if I go, but I'm sitting towards the front. I ain't sitting in the back. I ain't sitting where I can't see. If I'm going to get dressed up and I'm going to the opera, bless God, I'm sitting in the front. I want people to know I'm there. So we walked in, Bailey, sit down. We was just three or four rows back on the right-hand side. But, man, I got to looking, and I thought, where's the sound system at? There's no microphones nowhere. They began to tune their instruments, and anyway, they came out, and they introduced the people, and they started the shindig. And boy, it was a shindig. If you've never been to one, you need to go to one. It was actually pretty neat. And the first person began to sing their solo, and it just echoed through that building. And I thought, wow, the acoustics. So you got to remember what I'm fixing to tell you. Spurgeon didn't have a sound system. And he walked into a great big auditorium, and he done a sound check that afternoon before he was going to preach that night. And here's what he said. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He walked off the platform and started walking back through the building. Didn't think there was nobody there. And up in the top of that building was a man working. And he come walking down. And he said, sir, I need to know who you're talking about. Something's different. And he led him to the Lord. Let me tell you the reason why. Because the Word of God has an impact. Let me tell you the reason you're here today, because the Word of God had an impact on you. And let me tell you the reason it had an impact on you, because it's inspired. Because it's not just any old book. It's inspired and it instructed you. I'll give you this in closing. Has anybody ever heard of the man by the name of Lee Strobel? If you've not, he wrote a very interesting book. It's called The Case for Christ. He was 29 years old when he got saved, but whenever he wrote the book, or whenever he got saved, the reason he got saved was because his wife and his child had got saved. He, whenever you study him out, he was a former legal editor for the Chicago Tribune. And he was an atheist. He didn't believe in anything. And his wife and his child got saved. He thought that they had been sucked into some kind of junk, as most people think about us today, some crazy something other. So he decided that he was going to go on a journey, and he was going to prove that the Word of God was not so. In the book, he interviews a dozen experts on the topics, including those with doctorates from Cambridge, Princeton, and Brandeis. Here are some key ideas from the book. When it comes to the New Testament, here is his conclusion. The manuscript evidence for the New Testament is overwhelmingly, with some dating back to the second century. When it come to the New Testament. When it come to the resurrection, here's what he said. The resurrection of Jesus is not merely a legend. The earliest Christian rallied around a creed that was based on facts they knew to be true. And scholars have dated it within months of Jesus' death. When it comes to the life of Jesus, he says the biographies of Jesus are based on eyewitness accounts, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Old Testament, the Jesus in the New Testament fulfills every prophecy made centuries earlier in the Old Testament. And when he got done trying to prove that Christianity was wrong, that the Bible wasn't right, and there wasn't a God, he ended up getting saved and being converted Christian. Let me tell you the reason why. You can get it on Audible, or you can buy the book and read it. You're to listen to it. Let me tell you the reason why. Because the Bible has an impact. A man inherited an antique desk one day. By accident, he touched a secret spring. Hitherto unopened drawer opened up. It was a secret compartment, a secret drawer in the desk. In it lay a great sum of money. The antique was very valuable, but the treasure it contained was more valuable. In other words, what was on the inside was more valuable. You say, "Preacher, what are you saying?" When you get in it, you just begin to realize how valuable it is. When you begin to read it, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give it to all men freely." God, I want to know more about this. God, enlighten my eyes, enlighten my soul. God, show me what's real. God, show me what's truth. And when you do that, and you do it with an open mind and an open heart, the problem with a lot of people is this. Here's the problem with a lot of people. Before they even start, they've already got an attitude that it's wrong. They start just as Lee Strobel to prove it to be wrong. Instead of trying to prove it to be wrong, why don't you just read it, see what happens to you? I'm going to tell you what this word will do. If you'll let it, it'll impact your life. It'll change your life. Why? Because it's Him. That's Jesus right there. Some of y'all looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. That's Jesus. You ever saw somebody get saved? And then afterwards, you hear something like this, "Brother Elijah, they just ain't the same person they used to be." You know, let me tell you the reason why. They was impacted by the Word of God.